T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
As always, our important provisos, the information on the PowerPoint is only as current as the date of the PowerPoint presentation, and this was just finished up about 40 minutes ago, so some of the information could already be stale depending on the change in the coronavirus outbreak in our region. As always, if you are looking for guidance, looking for information on some of the FAQs, frequently asked questions, you can go to our website at erie.gov/COVID-19. There's lots of information there for everybody, regardless of your profession, and we have it broken down by professions as well. Important information that everyone, of course, wants to know. As of 12 p.m., and last I know that had not changed, there were 499 positive cases for all labs that have tested residents of Erie County. We know more than 1,200 individuals have been tested in full. 499 of those tests came back positive. Unfortunately, as we've reported previously, 8 people have died, though thankfully we've not had to change that number in the last few hours. 53 people have recovered from COVID-19. They've gone through the protocol and the process to determine that those individuals have recovered from COVID-19, so we wish all those individuals well. To those that are in isolation who have COVID-19 in confirmed cases, we certainly wish you well. Unfortunately, not all of them are well. As of last evening, there were 102 individuals that were hospitalized. 48 of those are in the intensive care unit, and of those 48, 39 of those are having an airway assist of one form or another. So if you're being hospitalized, there's a very good chance that you're in some serious condition. And one of the things that we've been hearing from the hospitals is individuals are being brought into the hospital in which a day or two before they were feeling fine, and then in a short period of time their illness has not only taken hold but has really degraded their condition. So we certainly want to wish our best to each and every one of the individuals who has COVID-19, including our friends in the hospital. I am aware of a number of people people have contacted me about individuals that are in the hospital, and some of them on ventilators, and we're certainly hoping and praying for the recovery of each of these individuals. Some information that we've been able to gather, our epidemiologists have been working very, very hard, and there's a lot of work on the ninth floor. The ninth floor is where the health department is basically locked down. Only the individuals who work there and some key personnel can get in there, but they have been able to give us the latest information on gender and age, and I think this is a very important message that needs to get out to the public. As you can see from the chart, there's a lot of people who have COVID-19 that are young. It's not just for people who are in their 70s or 80s, 60s or older. Unfortunately, you do not have to be any particular age to get COVID-19. As you can see, there's actually, I believe, one case of a child in Erie County between age of 1 to 4. There's a few cases between 5 to 9, a few cases between 10 to 20 or 19. And then you see the numbers drastically jump up. And what was striking when we were looking at this is for those that are younger, we've tested more females, at least under the age of 50, than males. And then you see a dramatic change. You see a change of those who've tested positive being primarily males. And in each of the groups from 50 and above, it is the males that dominate. In below 50, though, the females actually have more cases than males in almost every one of the age groups. So we're trying to get the information out to a lot of folks that just because you think you are invulnerable because you're young, you're not. And what we're seeing is in some of those individuals in the younger age categories are in hospital, and a few of them are on ventilators. So I want public to understand that this can strike any age group, either gender, doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your ethnicity, it doesn't matter your religion, it doesn't matter the size of your pocketbook, your wallet, your bank account. This is a non-discriminatory disease that is affecting people all across the world. It is no different here in Erie County. It's affecting people of all age ranges, all genders, all races, all religious beliefs. And it's kind of scary to see that there's so many individuals who've tested positive in the younger age groups. And we want to just reaffirm to the public that just because you're younger doesn't mean you're not going to get it. You can catch it, and you might not have any illness. You might have a mild illness. You may have medium symptoms. Hopefully you don't have to be hospitalized, but we know that there's younger individuals that are actually on ventilators. And it's sad because if people just follow the rules with regards to community spread, maybe they wouldn't catch it. Next slide, about community self-monitoring. You've heard myself and Dr. Burstein talk about this. People are probably wondering where Dr. Burstein is. Dr. Burstein is involved in a meeting right now. We're both very busy. We've had a lot of requests from media to do separate interviews and the like. And I just want to tell folks, it's not like we're sitting around and doing nothing. We're very busy. I started my day on a conference call with area faith-based leaders and some physicians. I've been on a number of calls since then. I've had meetings. We try to avoid the in-person meetings as much as possible, so we're doing a lot of conference calls. I have been on a number of the floors here meeting with personnel from our purchasing department, our health department, our public works department, as we just deal with this in its entirety. So to our friends in the media, I know some of you are not understanding why you can't have complete access to us every hour of the day. That's just not going to happen, though we will go back to a traditional conference call with the phone-in for the media tomorrow, as we've now moved down here, and we'll be able to do that again tomorrow. But I did want to let our friends in media know, if you do have questions, you can always direct it to the public information officers, Peter Anderson and Dan Meyer in my office, and Kara Kane in the Department of Health. So if you have questions that need to be answered by the media, you always have the opportunity to call or email Peter, Dan, and Kara, and we will get back to you as quickly as possible with the answers. Community self-monitoring, once again, you've heard it. Check for fever of 100.4 or greater, cough, shortness of breath. But we know that's not the only symptom that's being reported now associated with COVID-19. You might not have a fever, but you might have sweats and chills. Extreme exhaustion or loss of sense of smell and taste has been reported. And those are some symptoms. If you are showing any of those symptoms, you need to call your doctor because you may have COVID-19. Now, depending on the status of your COVID-19, the recommendation probably would be to isolate yourself at home, regardless of whether a test is performed or not. But if you, as I just said, if you develop symptoms, isolate yourself at home and from others in your household, and call your physician. Do not go to the emergency department. Do not go to urgent care. Call your physician. If you don't have a physician but you have health insurance, most of health insurance offers telehealth. You can contact your health insurer, check online, call them on the phone, and they'll offer telehealth, and they'll be able to offer you some assistance if you don't have a doctor. But if you do, please call your doctor first. Deal with that individual first. Let them make the determination about what's appropriate for you. But if you do develop those symptoms, you should isolate yourself from others in your household because you may have COVID-19. Though, as we talked about yesterday, there's a number of people we're testing who seem to have the perfect symptoms for COVID-19, and they do not have it. They may have one of the other illnesses that, unfortunately, is going around our community that seems very similar. So there's no guarantee that just because you have those symptoms, you actually have COVID-19. Erie County Responds, as you know, we've been doing a lot, and we're going to talk more about that. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to our Parks Commissioner, Troy Schinzel, to talk about some of the issues that his department has been seeing, as well as the Sheriff's Office at our parks, and what people can best do when they get out to our parks to do it in a responsible manner and not put themselves or other people at risk. So, Commissioner Schinzel, microphone's yours.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. As with all parks or all departments within Erie County Parks has been affected by COVID-19. Thanks for having me today. I just want to go over some simple do's and don'ts. It seems though, although we are open, our parks are open, I'll get into some of those areas that are closed or are limited basis. It seems like when some are approaching or going into our parks, they believe it's a COVID-free zone, and that's simply not true. We're noticing some disturbing actions of some public coming to certain parks and not obeying the social distancing mandates and the essentials, and just honestly not using good common sense. So the first slide I want to cover, if you are coming out to Erie County Parks, we have 10,000 acres. We don't have just the 1,000 at Chestnut Ridge Park. We have 10,000 acres. So come on out, enjoy. If you absolutely have to get out of the house instead of staying home, if you absolutely have to get out of the house to get some fresh air and for your sanity, please come out. But here's some simple, some do's and don'ts from the Erie County Sheriffs. If you're going to hit the trails and you're going to visit us, obviously stay on designated paths. Wear proper footwear and clothing, of course. Tell someone that you're going out and where you're going. That's important as well. Carry extra gear, flashlight, and batteries with you. And the last one is the most important one, is maintain social distancing and don't gather in groups. Again, a majority of our parks, we're seeing them be used with good social distancing requirements and people obeying by that. But in some of those areas, we simply see our parking lots are too full, our trails are too busy, and people aren't obeying those. Just to kind of give you some do's and don'ts when you come visit us, is stay local. Keep visits short, stay in small groups. There's parks all around Erie County, north, south, east, west. So come on out, look for the park nearest you. If that park's too busy or that parking lot's too full, find another park, and we'll go over that in a little bit. Again, maintain safe distances from groups that tend to congregate. We've taken steps, and we'll go over those in a little bit, to kind of limit that or mitigate those as well. If parking lots are full, like I said earlier, do not park on roadsides. We have some more parks where people are endangering themselves and their family by, if lots are full, parking on main roads or roadways. Please don't do that. That's endangering yourself and your family and those that may be driving. Have your dogs on a leash at all times. We've absolutely seen an influx in people visiting our parks due to COVID-19. And all that, although that's a great thing and giving people a little bit of a break and some sanity and some fresh air, it also causes some problems with some dogs and off-leash and some of those issues. So if you're coming out, you want to get out to the parks, please do so by following these rules and some of these regs, but have your dog on a leash at all times, please. And if you're older individuals with underlying health conditions, please stay at home. Stay at home. It's best for you. It's best for everyone involved. So please do your best to stay at home and maintain your safe health. Some things we've recently done to be proactive and try to get ahead of this, and it's a fluid situation, as Mark's reported on daily. So as it changes, we change with it. Although parks are still open, there's certain aspects of parks that are closed. If you choose to visit our parks, our buildings are closed. Our rentals have been canceled through April 26th. All those that had rentals through April 26th have been provided or will be provided a full refund. As the situation changes, that date may extend, but as of now, it's April 26th. Consider not visiting the Eternal Flame at Chestnut Ridge Park or the Falls at Akron Falls Park. Those two areas will be there well after this COVID-19 pandemic passes. It seems like those are the two areas that everyone goes to, hence causing havoc with too much congestion, lack of social distancing. So please do not consider going to those areas at this time. We're taking steps to limit that, but really general common sense and the public using that common sense will go a long way. So we appreciate that. Of course, at this time, golf courses are closed, playgrounds are closed, and basketball courts are closed in all county parks. We've taken the rims off our basketball courts. Our playgrounds, we have signage up and taken off the swings of those. And at this time of year, typically we would not be open at the golf courses regardless. Internally, over the next week or so, I'll be meeting with staff. We'll be discussing if we're going to open our golf courses, when we're going to open our golf courses, and what steps or measures we're going to put in place to help mitigate the spread of COVID-19. The disc golf, we have 4 disc golf courses within Erie County Parks. Those will be closed. I'm working with our good friends at the Niagara Region Disc Golf Association to collectively close those down, remove those baskets. Unfortunately, some people not using good common sense. It's bringing in groups of people meeting and touching the same baskets and meeting at the park. So unfortunately, it was the best decision of both groups, Erie County and certainly the group, that we closed those down. So we'll be working on that this week and removing those baskets as well. Tennis will remain open at this point, but only to singles, and usually we're asking immediate family members as well, and those are posted with signs as well, or will be shortly. So we've taken a variety of steps at a variety of parks, from signage to blocking off certain areas to kind of mitigate the risk of that. We do have restroom facilities open at 7 of the main areas, and we've also imported 17 Port-a-Johns to help with that as well. But we're trying to limit those indoor spaces as much as possible to, of course, limit the spread of COVID-19. Yeah, most importantly, working with our good friends from GIS, we've come up with a fantastic, it's on our website. You can visit our website or go to erie.gov /park locator and find a park near you. And I can't stress this enough. This is a very important aspect. I put in my home address in 5 areas within, and 12 miles came up of other options for me to go to, besides Chestnut Ridge was one of those. So go on our website, go to that park locator, put in your address, put in the distance and parameters you'd like to see, and it'll give you those, including forestry lots. I have to tell you, 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, I took a 2-hour walk through one of our forestry lots, which we have over 3,600 acres. So in 2 hours, we ran into one person. That's the space we do have, and that's the space that's out there for everyone to use if you're looking for other areas. We have huge conservation areas, waterfront parks, natural habitat areas, and of course our 5 big heritage parks. So we have 10,000 acres. It just seems to be about the same 1,000 to 2,000 acres being utilized. So this is a great application. Please use it and find other areas you've never been before.
And we have marked trails at all those other locations?
Yes, except for our forestry lots. Our forestry lots are primitive in nature. There's areas usually you can pull off the side of the road. We're working on creating small parking lots in there and identifying those. But you could still go in there. They're still open to the public and to walk around, and I did that. Some of those forestry lots have dedicated snowmobile trails in there, so you can walk those. Horse trails in there, you can walk those. So in some of those, we absolutely have dedicated trails you can use, and others do not. Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner. We certainly want people to get out there and enjoy the parks, but I don't want to have to get a final report from him saying, Mark, you have to shut down the parks, because people just aren't listening to the rules. I do not want to have to do that. I do not want to have to put the gates up and lock them and then have our rangers and sheriff's deputies out there patrolling our parks because people weren't following the rules. If you follow the rules, you'd be able to get out there and enjoy the parks. We know people are getting out there and enjoying it, but they're not always following the rules. There are so many other parks to take advantage of. Make sure you use that park locator. Once again, erie.gov/park locator. And you could go and take a look at it now, and it'll list you every acre that we got. And I'm sure you're going to see a whole bunch of them you didn't even know existed, because we've got, as we like to say, over 10,000 acres to enjoy. Now, another area that we've been concerned and working with is our senior services. Last week, we had our commissioner of the Department of Senior Services, David Schenck, on with me because there are some significant concerns with our senior population. Having a conference call with some of the faith-based leaders this morning also affirmed in my view that we need to continue to get the message out. There are seniors that are going hungry, and that is unacceptable in my mind. We as a community can help those individuals, and Meals on Wheels is available to deliver one hot meal a day if needed Monday through Friday to seniors, as well as then also a cold meal that could potentially be used in the evening or the next day for the weekend. But you have to register. You can call our staff at 858-8526 between 8:30 and 4:30 on Monday through Friday. That's the Department of Senior Services staff. You will not be calling a call center somewhere else. You'll actually be talking to an individual in this building here, and they will establish a Meals on Wheels delivery for you if you previously had never used one before. I don't want to hear any reports of seniors going hungry because they're locked in their house, they're afraid to go out. We know they're a vulnerable population, and we don't want them going out and exposing themselves if at all possible, but we also want them to understand that you should not go hungry, that we can feed you. Our Meals on Wheels program that is supported by Erie County is there for you, and there's multiple Meals on Wheels providers depending on where you live. So please call 716-858-8526. Our Stay Fit Dining program, which is our congregate program, is closed right now. But Meals on Wheels deliveries continue. The numbers are going up, as Commissioner Schenck informed us last week. and continue to go up, but that's not a bad thing because we want people who are hungry, seniors, to be fed. So please contact our senior service staff at 716-858-8526 Monday through Friday between 8:30 and 4:30 to register for the Meals on Wheels program, and we'll ensure that a delivery is made to you. Emergencies only, 911. I've talked to and gotten reports from 911 call center as well as area first responders that a lot of people are calling 911 not necessarily for an emergency. It is a true emergency. They may be seeking medical advice or they're looking to be taken somewhere else. We're not a delivery service. Our first responders need to be out there helping those in need that truly need it in an emergency situation. As you may have seen, there's a number of Buffalo Fire and Buffalo Police that have been diagnosed as having COVID-19, the same in some of the suburban areas as well. As a result, there's a reduction in the workforce available for our first responders, and such we want our first responders to respond to actual emergencies. So if you have an actual emergency, of course, call 911. If you don't have an actual emergency, you should be calling 211 for free referrals to human and social service agencies or basic needs. You don't call 911 if you're looking as a senior for assistance for Meals on Wheels. You call our social services office at 858-8526, or you can call 211 and they'll do the appropriate referral for you. So the 911 is not a helpline or a delivery service. And I want to stress that in this time in which we're asking so much of our first responders, and some of them are getting ill themselves, we need to allow 911 and ambulance transport to be for those who truly need it. We're getting stories out of New York City about the number of calls they're getting for individuals for 911 and ambulance transfer, and over 50% of them, I heard, really are not emergency situations. We're starting to see a little bit of this here. We've seen it in past emergencies. People call 911 because it's ingrained in your head, but that might not be the right one to call. 211, if it's not a true emergency, is who you should be calling. 211, not 911. And then we have, of course, our COVID-19 call center, open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, 716-858-2929. You can call anywhere in the 716 area code. If you're calling from outside of Erie County, what's going on in your county, might not be able to give you the answer you want right away, but we do try to assist others as best as we can. The volume has been high at times. Other times it's a little slower, but if you do call, you should just anticipate there's going to be a wait. Later you call in the day, it's usually better. Or early in the morning, it's very busy, and it slows down. Always picks up after we do our presentation. I guarantee you if I walk to the call center, they will be answering the phone. I won't even get a chance to talk to anybody, but you can call them. Of course, our website, erie.gov, COVID-19, has got a tremendous amount of resources. It's updated on a daily basis, including the frequently asked questions. So the information that we're getting back from our call center is percolating into our web pages as well. So if people are asking questions that we're seeing over and over in the call center, we'll include those answers in our frequently asked questions. Of course, the Department of Health has a great page, and so does the CDC at coronavirus.gov. There's lots of resources out there to help you answer your question. Once again, everything you need to know about COVID-19, that at least the information that we can provide you, is available on our website at erie.gov/COVID-19. Now I'm going to get out of the PowerPoint and go to our map to once again show you. This should not change. There are 499, probably still will be, 499 confirmed cases in Erie County. 438 of them are active. 202 of those cases confirmed are in the city of Buffalo. Something here. Oh, the slides are also on Twitter, so you can see them on Twitter. The largest is right now in the city of Buffalo. For a while there, the city of Buffalo and the town of Amherst were equal in cases, while the city is up to 202. Amherst is now 93. And then the next highest is a big drop. It goes down to Cheektowaga, including the village of Sloan, which is down to 33, I believe that is. I guess I need my glasses. Unfortunately, these glasses are for reading. Now it even looks worse. So I'm just getting old, folks. Sorry about that. But we also added a couple days ago a new chart in the bottom corner, which shows you the increase in cases on a day-to-day basis. So you can see where we are, 499 as of current on the 31st. And if we go back to the original date, down here, the first date that they use in the chart, which is March 19th, it was 26. So in since the 19th to the 31st, we've gone from 26 cases to 499 cases, and they continue to grow. There are 8 deaths in the community, 53 thankfully have recovered. There are 438 active cases. Those people are in isolation, and we just wish each and every one of those individuals the best. We will continue to update the COVID-19 map as we get information, and I do anticipate to see this continue to grow as we have more and more testing sources. Not only is the Erie County Department of Health doing testing, we have testing that's being done by Quest, testing that's being done by LabCorp, testing that's being done by Flint for one of the hospital groups. All the hospitals are testing inpatients. They do not have the capability of testing outpatients at this point. We do not have a walk-in clinic for anybody who wants it. If you do believe you have COVID-19, you should contact your doctor. Some individuals, depending on their role in the community, where they work, they are getting tested by the Department of Health. Individuals that are in group homes, work in group homes, congregate settings, including in jails, hospitals, of course, healthcare organizations, if they don't have their own possibility of doing testing, as well as first responders are being tested by the Erie County Department of Public Health. We do know that some private practices out there have the ability to swab individuals and have those tests performed by Quest and LabCorp and others. So want to thank those. If you, depending on where you go, you may actually have a doctor's practice that's capable of doing that. But before you show up, of course, you should always call. So with that, we'll take it some questions. Peter Anderson is on the other end of the microphone over there. I know we got some questions from media first, so why don't we do those?
Okay, thanks, County Executive. The first question is from Steve Brown at WGRZ. Yesterday in your afternoon briefing, you mentioned COVID hotspots like New York City and about those individuals coming into Erie County. Steve's wondering how you can reconcile your position with the CDC's recommendation against all non-essential travel from the New York City area for 2 weeks.
Thank you, Steve. Of course, what I was talking about is there were people who were saying they wanted me to stop all travel into our county, and I don't have the power at this point to do that. The advisory from the CDC is just that. It's an advisory against travel from individuals who are in those communities out, and we certainly would hope that people would understand that, but we do not have the ability to just put walls on the thruway and Route 5s and Route 20 and 62 and all of them to stop individuals from coming into our community. Just as I said yesterday, there's a very good chance that we're going to become a hot spot a little later after New York City has been, and we certainly would want to have the help from individuals. You heard the governor today talking about how first responders, people who work in hospitals, are coming from other parts of New York State to New York City. That is true. I know of a couple people down there. We've sent a couple ambulance crews down there as well to help them. If we are in time of need, hopefully they will be there for us as well. But the CDC guidance is just that. It's an advisory guidance. It is not a prohibition on people leaving. You remember the president talked about potentially doing a quarantine for the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area and elected not to do that. So instead, they just issued a travel advisory. We're hoping our friends elsewhere follow that, but we cannot prevent them from coming in our area, even if they do. Next question.
The next question, County Executive, is from Susan Rose at WBEN. Susan asks, the Food and Drug Administration has given emergency approval to a plan to distribute millions of doses of anti-malarial drugs to hospitals across the country. Is that coming to Erie County?
Susan, I cannot answer that question. I think it would best be addressed to the hospital groups, Kaleida Health, which of course runs Buffalo General, Children's Hospital, Millard Fillmore, Suburban, Catholic Health, which has a number of hospitals, Kenmore Mercy, South Buffalo Mercy, the St. Joe's COVID Center now, as well as Sisters Hospital, and of course ECMC. I do not know. I cannot give you the answer. I don't know if they have received that. And I do understand that they are trying different procedures in the area hospitals to save individuals, including, of course, using ventilators. I think ventilators are kind of a last resort, is what I've been told. And, of course, there's not that many of them, so it's not like every individual is getting a ventilator, though, based as been described to me, you don't want to be on a ventilator if you can avoid it. So I think that question is best addressed to those in the hospital units and the public relations departments because they would know better. The Erie County Department of Health, contrary to what a lot of people think, is not a ton of doctors and nurses that go out and react. We have individuals, nurses, epidemiologists, of course, Dr. Burstein, and individuals that work out of our medical examiner's office that are doctors as well. We are not the primary source and providers of healthcare for the community. We are there to act as a repository of information, examination of information through our lab and other departments and divisions, but we are not the ones that are providing the primary health care. That would be our hospitals, our doctor's practices, our urgent cares, and I believe it would be the hospitals that would be the best one to answer that question. Next question.
Here's a question for Commissioner Schinzel. Troy, can you please tell us what that park's locator web address is again?
Sure. We're going to back up on the screen.
Park's locator?
Yep, park's locator.
Right.
You did?
OR.
OR.
OR, yeah. Oh, I didn't go back. That's not good. All right, let's go to the echo.
It's right on our main page of our park site as well. It's at our Erie Parks website. We put it right on the face of that. It's our parks locator, so you can find it right there. I believe it's there you go, under parks. Right there. Find a park closest to you. Peter, I believe that's just Erie Parks backslash locator.
So if you go, once again, go back, I'll go back.
Okay. You just go back to the website, you click on that icon down below with our logo on it, find the Erie County Forest or Parks closest to you. You click on that. Put your home address in there or an address that you're leaving from, and you enter that, and you select your mile radius. You can go out to 25 miles, 10 miles, 5 miles, and you can select whatever you like, and from there it'll give you the parks or forestry lots closest to you. So if you want to go to the one that you want to pull in and the parking lot's full or the trail's full, have a second and third option. I really highly recommend you do that. One thing I did want to mention is that we have been in constant communication with other park agencies from either locally, Orchard Park, City of Buffalo, our good friends there, but out of state, New Jersey as well, to see what they're doing to mirror some of the same practices. There's not a playbook. No one has a playbook for this, so we'll work with other parks departments to kind of mirror what they're doing and keeping track of what they're doing from golf course operations to park operations. So we're not working out of a vacuum.
Okay, a question for you, County Executive. A lot of people on Facebook this afternoon are concerned about prison COs, people who work in jails, police departments, and law enforcement having enough access to personal protective equipment. How can they get it? What can you say about that?
First off, for those who work in state facilities, like the Wendy Correctional Facility, everything is going through the state. Those that work in an Erie County Sheriff's Office facility, such as the Holding Center downtown, or the jail. First off, I want to assure the public we don't have any cases from inmates there. There was a sheriff's correctional officer at the facility in Alden who did come in sick, tested positive, was in the individuals that were connected to that person were put in isolation, and thankfully it appears they have no inmates, nor I'm not aware of any deputies who came in direct contact with an individual who have come down with COVID-19. We are distributing PPEs that we receive based on the order from New York State, which is healthcare first. So the first set of PPEs that went out the door yesterday, and there were thousands of masks and gowns and face shields, we were directed by New York State. We had to provide 50% of those to hospitals, 25% to nursing homes, and then the other 25% went to healthcare providers. We're trying to access additional PPEs for our corrections officers that work in the jails for Erie County, and I know our sheriff's office is active in that effort. Those that work in state facilities, people are asking, will the county be providing them? And we've been told the state will be providing individuals that work in correctional facilities that are the state facilities, like Wendy in Alden or the Collins Correctional Facility in Southern Erie County. That's a state facility that's just outside of Gowanda. That is run and managed by New York State, and the information, the PPEs, would be coming from New York State.
County Executive, lots of questions this afternoon about testing, which is something you touched on earlier. People want to know how many tests are getting done daily. Also, talk again about who can get tested and how.
The number of tests daily is changing because we have multiple entities that are performing tests. The Erie County Department of Health Public Health Lab does about 80 to 100 tests a day. And those are individuals that work in the healthcare field, that are in law enforcement or are first responders, work in congregate settings such as and appear to have come in contact or have the symptoms associated with COVID-19. We do not have the capability of providing testing for each and every individual who wants it. We would need hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tests. One of the biggest calls we get into our hotline is, I want to get tested, and have you talked to your doctor? No. Okay, do you have the symptoms? No. Well, you wouldn't qualify for testing at this point. So what we're reminding everyone is this is a national, or for that matter, international problem. There are new tests that have been announced, including one by Abbott Laboratories, that hopefully will shorten the testing period, but there's still, that test has not been released for use by governments or public health labs. We are doing a certain number of tests per day for Erie County residents. We also are required, because we're a public health lab that's in part of the New York State system, and we're getting the reagents and supplies from New York State. If there are first responders, healthcare professionals, people who meet that criteria from like Niagara County or Chautauqua County or Wyoming and so forth, and we get a swab from them, we also have to test those individuals. So while we wish there was more, and we're working on getting as much as we can, I'm reminding everyone, if you do believe you have COVID-19 or the symptoms associated with COVID-19, you should call your doctor first. There are a lot of private practices that are able to do tests. Not all of them can, but there are some that can. And so if they have the capability of testing, they may have the swabs. They certainly don't have the ability to actually perform the test. They have to send it out to a third party to do it, but there are third-party providers like Quest and LabCorp that are doing it. I know that people are wondering, I want a test, I can't get one. I mean, I understand it. I feel your concern. Just for those of you who are wondering, I know people are wondering, did I get tested? I have not been tested. I've not shown any of the symptoms of it, so there's no reason for me to waste a test for someone who actually needs it, like one of our first responders or someone in a correctional facility or a nursing home. So I just want people to understand that we are dealing with a problem that is the same across the state. I talked to Dan McCoy, the county executive of Albany County, 2 days ago, and they previously were getting a lot of tests done because it was being done by the state through the state Wadsworth lab in Albany County. And now they've been told they're not going to get any tests done because the state's running out of swabs as well as reagents themselves. This is a statewide problem. It's a national problem. I was reading about the lack of tests in Arkansas, the lack of tests in Kansas. I wish we had more, but we don't. And until we have more and more testing capability to do the analysis of it, there's going to be limitations on what we do. I know people aren't happy to hear it, but I'm telling you the truth. I don't want to tell you something and give you false hope that everyone who want to get tested can get tested tomorrow. That's not going to happen. Next question.
Next question, County Executive, is about unemployment. Many people are frustrated with what's happening with the unemployment system. They're having difficulty getting through and filing a claim, and also wondering if you would know when federal checks would be arriving.
I do not know when federal checks will be arriving. I cannot answer that question. We've heard a lot of potentials and when it may go out, but that is something that I think is not definitive yet, so I don't want to tell you any particulars. Filing unemployment claims, and we know it's been a big problem. It can be done online, but what the New York State Department of Labor, which handles unemployment claims, has done is, if you're filing a new unemployment insurance claim, as you can see on the screen, the day you should apply is based on the first letter of your last name. So if your last name begins with A to F, you file on Monday. If your last name begins with G to N, you file on Tuesday. And if your last name begins with O to Z, you file on Wednesday. So, and if you missed your day, you can file on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But what they're trying to do is avoid the crush of applicants on any one day. And so they have a call center. They know it's been backed up too. The telephone filing hours have been extended for New York State. But the information on how to file is on the Department of Labor's website. Like you see, I quickly pulled it up. Told you when to file, how to file, web service, phone service. You can file by phone at 1-888-209-8124 for unemployment insurance, but understand that that is probably going to be backed up. Best to file online, and they will get back with you. Next question.
Many of viewers this afternoon, County Executive, bring up an issue of littering that they are seeing around the county with gloves, masks, other PPE just kind of left discarded in parking lots and at retail establishments. Can you talk about this issue at all?
Well, yeah, I've heard a little bit about the littering issue, and we're just asking people to be responsible. If you have PPE or something else, just don't throw it along the side of the road. Throw it out yourself. No one else is going to want to pick it up because they're not going to know whether it was contaminated or not. So if you have a PPE, whether it's a mask or a glove, I don't think most people are going to be out in gowns or face shields, but if you have a mask or glove, please dispose of it properly. Do not just toss it out because no one else is going to want to pick it up wondering whether it's contaminated. Commissioner, have we seen any additional littering in the parks?
Absolutely. Not necessarily PPE, but for sure, due to an increase of people in the parks due to COVID-19, we've seen more trash than usual. I mean, obviously, you have a perfect storm. You have the COVID-19. You have kids out of school, and you have great weather for Western New York. So we've absolutely seen an uptick of people in the parks, which with that goes more garbage, more litter.
Okay. Next question. When a company has a confirmed case of coronavirus, what's the protocol for closing them, sanitation, and so forth?
If a company has a confirmed case, we recommend the same that the state was recommending initially for schools, if there was a confirmed case in the schools, which is a shutdown of the facility for 24 hours and to have a very deep cleaning of the facility, at least where the individual was working. If you have a large factory and the person only worked in one spot, you probably would not need to do the shutdown of the whole factory. But remember, most of the non-essential services should be shut down anyway. But if you do have an employee or a visitor who has tested positive and they can confirm that they were symptomatic during the period that they were at work, it makes sense to shut down for at least a 24-hour period and clean the locations where the individual was. And if you can't identify exactly where it was, then it would be recommended you clean the whole place. Doorways, door handles. We spray our door handles every day with a virus killer. We do some deep cleanings as well. The phones and that are used by our staff are constantly cleaned during the day. In the call centers, if it's an individual and they're only one touching it because it's their workstation, they generally clean it on their own. But if you do have someone who's tested positive, your first thought should be, what do I need to do to shut down to ensure the safety of everyone else in our facility, at least for 24 hours, until you can determine that what you've cleaned is appropriate.
People are still seeing other neighbors and people in their neighborhoods having house parties, and they're also talking about parking lot parties with people meeting and parking in close proximity and drinking. Safe or not?
No. Don't be a COVIDiot. Do not congregate. We've heard about this in parks where people are parking next to each other and they're putting the cooler next to each other on a nice day and they're grabbing the drinks out of the park. Don't do that. You're putting yourself at risk. Even if you're sitting on your hood of your car and you're 6-7 feet away, I mean, you really shouldn't do that. The longer you congregate, the greater the chances it's going to spread. If you're in your house with your family members, in your backyard with your family members, and you want to have a cookout, by all means, do it with the people you live with. Don't bring over your neighbors. Don't bring over other relatives. Earlier today, you heard the governor basically admonishing his brother, Chris Cuomo, for having their mother over at the house. And now, unfortunately, Chris Cuomo has tested positive for COVID-19. And the worry is that their mother, Matilda Cuomo, our former first lady, first mom right now, may have been exposed. And she's in her 80s, I believe, maybe even 90s. And she's very at risk. So you do not want to bring other people into your house. You do not want to have parties. We're thinking that potentially, when I showed it earlier, the gender and age gap, that some of the younger people aren't just taking it seriously, and they're going out and they're having fun in their parties and they're testing positive. I've seen the names of the individuals who tested positive. I have seen them, and I do recognize a few, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe that person has it, and I wonder how they got it. And I don't know if they got it from travel. I don't know if they got it from being just in contact with someone else that has it that they don't know, or going to a party and hanging out with friends and then ended up getting it. Don't be a COVIDian. Simple as that. I didn't come up with the term, but it's a perfect term, because that's what you are when you're putting yourself and other people at risk. You're an idiot. Don't become a COVIDian.
You both brought up an important term earlier, and that's physical distancing as opposed to social distancing. Can you talk about that?
Yes. We talk about social distancing, but we don't want people to socially disconnect. We still want you to connect socially. You can do that online. You can do that from a distance. Like, I see Mark Leffler over there, and Mark's probably about 25 feet away. That's safe. But you, when you're getting real close and you don't know each other and you haven't been in the same room with each other, that's not a good thing. So when we talk about social distancing, we're talking about a particular spread. At least 6 feet. That's the recommended. At least 6 feet. The further away you can be, the better. Now, people are commenting and saying, the commissioner and I, well, we're probably about 5 feet away and Kendra's behind us. We have been in contact with each other all during this period to get this information out to you. We're doing our best to limit the amount of individuals we're coming in contact with. But you do not want to get in contact with people you have not been around. And the best way to do that is to just not be together. If you have to be together, you have to be a sizable distance apart. You don't know who has it, as we've noted. And I was shocked when we got a lot of questions on this, which was people were like, can you have COVID-19 and still not have a fever? The answer is you could have COVID-19 and not have a single symptom at all. There are many people in this community who probably have COVID-19 and don't realize it because they're not feeling a single thing. 80% of the individuals who contract COVID-19 will have no symptoms or mild symptoms, thinking they just might have a cold. 20% will have some symptoms. 10%, it appears, will have significant symptoms and possibly be hospitalized. And then, of course, there's the 1 to 1.5% that unfortunately appear to be dying from COVID-19 across the world. So you do not have to have a cough. You do not have to have a fever. You do not have to have chills. You do not have to have shortness of breath to have COVID-19. I wish we could test everyone in the county to determine who has it and who doesn't, but we don't have the capability. But just know, because you're not feeling symptoms doesn't mean that you are immune and you actually might have it. So please don't spread it with other people. A few more questions.
Okay. Are tax assessments still on schedule?
Tax assessments still on schedule. Tax assessments are not done by the county. Those are done by the underlying municipalities. On the map there, you see the cities and the towns. They do the tax assessments as well as the villages. The county has no control whatsoever of the tax assessment. I have a lot of people complain about tax assessments and saying, why are you doing certain things? And the answer is we're not doing anything in Erie County government. We have no control over it. The tax assessments are all done by the city and town level. If you have a particular question about reassessments and the reassessments that we're going to move forward, you need to talk to your town officials or city officials or village.
Some of our viewers this afternoon, County Executive, have heard that prisoners from New York City are being transferred to Erie County. Have you heard about that? Can you shed any light on that?
I've not heard of any prisoners that have been transferred from New York City. I do know of the one case where a prisoner was sentenced downstate and was transferred to the Wendy Correctional Facility as their permanent location. That may happen, but I do not know of a mass transfer of prisoners. But the only one I am aware of is the one case that was in the news of a prisoner, a fairly well-known convict now, who is convicted and sentenced, was in Rikers in New York City and was moved to the Wendy Correctional Facility as the permanent location. That's all controlled by New York State. We have no control over that.
Okay, here's a question. Will we be able to post these slides on Facebook as well as other social media?
Yes, and right now these slides are being posted on Twitter. Including links, you can find the parks locator link on my Twitter page, at Mark Polencars, as well as the Parks Twitter page, which is at Erie County Parks. So you will be able to find the slides online. They've actually, I believe, been putting them online as we speak. And we will post others as well on Facebook so that people can see the slides.
County Executive, many people are interested in volunteering during this time. In addition to giving blood, are there other ways that people can look to volunteer?
Well, there are CERT teams, as they call them. Those are teams of volunteers on town and city levels that are organized by the Emergency Services Department, Departments of Public Works at various town levels. They generally are looking for assistance with individuals in the healthcare kind of background, volunteer, fire, EMS. There are other things that can be done. There are volunteers, of course, that are needed at a lot of our food banks. They relied on generally volunteers that were over the age of 70, and now they're losing some of those volunteers just because they do not want to leave their house, and probably justifiably so. So I would suggest contacting the Feed More of Western New York, which is the food bank, as well as any of the little food shelters that you may have in your communities, because we know that they're having problems with volunteers. We do appreciate people who are offering to volunteer here in the Rath Building. We do have enough staff to handle the issues that we're dealing with here, and we certainly appreciate all the people who've offered to volunteer in the Rath Building or other county services, but we're okay. We have county employees for that. We have essential personnel that are working. Some non-essential personnel are at home, not working. Other essential personnel are actually working at home, so we've got all the gamut. But I do appreciate people who volunteered, but I would also say that you're better off volunteering to a third-party organization like a town, a village that may need assistance, or, of course, organizations like the food bank or food pantries, food shelters, things like that, that often lose volunteers at this time because many of their volunteers are 70 and older. I think we're going to have to take a 3:52, so two more questions.
Okay. More people concerned about Sumitomo Rubber. It is still up and running and wondering why Sumitomo Rubber is essential.
My understanding is that the automotive industry, as well as entities that provide parts to automotive industry, are considered essential, and they have the choice of being open or not. We do know that General Motors and Ford have shut down production. I cannot order the closure of Sumitomo Rubber because it has been allowed through the parts for auto industry to continue. It probably doesn't need to be open and would probably be in their best interest to close for their workers. However, under the rulings that were, or the guidance and the orders that were entered into by the governor, the automotive repair as well as parts and those types of manufacturers are allowed to continue. If they are in violation, they would be New York State would be the party that would be best able to handle it. But my understanding is they can do it, though I would not recommend them being open at this point because I can tell you not many people are going out and buying new tires. One more question.
The last question then is about Meals on Wheels. Are these meals free to seniors? The concern is that some seniors won't call because they can't afford them.
For the Meals on Wheels of Western New York, there's a suggested donation of $3 per meal. It is a suggested donation. To some of these smaller Meals on Wheels, there are required donations of, I think, no more than $3 once again. We are asking every senior to call no matter what. We don't want you to sit at home and be hungry and not eat. You also have the ability, to, if you have a family member, call your family member. Hopefully they could deliver some food. But Meals on Wheels is available. Call our Senior Services Department Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30 at 858-8526. That's all the time we have for questions today. Tomorrow we'll be back with a full press conference briefing with only one camera. We will not have all the reporters here. They will be calling in once again on the system. I appreciate everyone's good work in the community. We're all working very hard, lots of hours. The heroes out there are the people on the front lines and the healthcare facilities and the hospitals. We're seeing the horrible stories about people coming into the hospitals. Doctors, nurses, orderlies, cleaning crews have to deal with the issues they're dealing with. It is very sad. And I want to give them a huge shout out. I also want to give a shout out to a group of individuals I have not previously mentioned in county government. Those are the ones who have to do home visits. from our probation department, as well as our child families, our child protective services and adult protective services. We still have probation officers, child protective workers, and adult protective workers who are having to go out and do home visits to check on individuals. We've tried to change as much as we could to video visits, but those are not always available. So we have had to continue to do home visits. And I want to thank all the probation officers out there, as well as our child protective and adult protective service workers who are going out and doing home visits. There's people that are working very hard in tough situations to ensure that government functions continue. I want to give them all a big shout out. They are our true heroes, the people on the front line, starting with our healthcare workers and all these other ones. And once again, to the people who've contacted me through social media and others, just worrying about our health, I want to let you know I'm fine, our staff is fine, and I do appreciate your concern. We are all in this together. We're in this together, whether you're sitting at home getting cabin fever with your family, or you're a frontline worker. Everyone has a role and a responsibility to try to reduce the community spread of COVID-19 in our region, and we are all responsible to one another. We are each our brothers and sisters' keeper. Let's do our best to ensure that we protect each and every one of us so that we all get through this. We are not eternal. The eternal flame trail is. Let's all get through this so that we can enjoy the eternal flame trail months from now. Don't go there now. Find another park. Have a good time as best as you can while you're getting through COVID-19. But let's do this together so that we protect the most people and ensure that we all get through this as best as we can. Thank you, everyone. Until tomorrow, stay safe. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.